Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. This is a verse I've sort of preached on for all these years. I was thinking this week, I've been pastoring for 45 years. I was 21, right out of Bible college. My first church way out in the country in Northeast Mississippi. I was there for 18 months. The church had a 100-year history. There were people in the back of the church in a grave site that was probably 3 acres big. People buried back in the 1800s there. And it was a lot of history way out in the country. More cattle than people. I was there for 18 months. When I went there, they had 80. When I left, we had 120. But I wanted to see more happen. I wanted to see more people saved, more lives changed. We had 18 people saved in 18 months, and it was killing me. I wanted to see more. They'd say, Pastor, that's more than we saw in the 10 years before. I said, well, it's still not enough. But you got to have people. I resigned that church in good faith. They love me. They love Miss Vicki and I. They built us a brand new home, let us pick out everything in it. If I was just looking for a place to settle, it would have been perfect. But God didn't call me to live in a nice house and such. He called me to ministry, win people to Christ. From there, I went to Arkansas. Met with 15 people that said they wanted me to be their pastor and start a church. I'd already told them no. They said, would you pray about it? I said, no, I know how that works. I'm not praying about it. They said, well, would you preach for us? I said, okay, I'll do that. I preached for them Sunday morning, Sunday night. They worked hard, had 18 people show up. 3 people got saved. That morning. That evening, they had a little fellowship and they said, well, we'll be voting this Wednesday. I said, what about? About you being our pastor? I said, oh, no, 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 no. They said, well, we're going to vote anyway. I drove away from there. I looked at my wife. I said, honey, what do you think? She says, I know what I think. What do you think? I said, I got this sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. God wants us to start a church here. I didn't have a clue how to do that. And yet, we moved there. We got less pay, of course, than we did in the country. We didn't have a nice house to move in. We had to pay rent. And it was over 100 degrees that summer in Arkansas, every day for 3 weeks. No air conditioning. We didn't even own a fan. Somebody brought a fan to us the second week and said, how are you surviving that? I said, well, it's easy. The kids go to sleep at 2 in the morning when it finally gets cool enough. It gets below 80. But that next spring, 42 years ago in January, I started preaching on my vision for that year. The year was 1978. My vision. Now, I was preaching to 25, 30 people. But my vision for the church, I was there 5.5 years. We bought land. We built a nice building. God blessed. Had a lot of people saved. And then God called me to the mission field of Oregon. And I was so thrilled. People said, well, they're not in the Bible Belt. I said, that's what I'm looking for. Prospects, people that need Jesus, that's what I want. And I found they're everywhere around here. Amen? And we've seen thousands and tens of thousands of people come to faith in Christ. I've always enjoyed preaching on my vision for the year. This verse is one of the most important verses in the Bible if you want to have a vision for your marriage, a vision for your home, your children, a vision for your family, a vision for a church, a ministry, your job, your business. You got to have a vision. And this verse applies to all those things. You got to be a people that have a vision from God for your marriage, for your family, for your business, for everything in your life, your health. Got to have a vision. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You got to have a vision. Now, you might not hit everything you aim at, but you'll go so much farther if you'll take aim every year and have some goals in your life that are God-given goals, God-honoring goals, and let God bless that in your life. You'll find that you get to do so much more if God has a vision for you. Now, we pray about this. For every 42 years that I've stood up to preach my vision for the year, I've always tried to give extra prayer, and I've always fasted until after I preach the message. Now, this afternoon we're having half a cow at our house. This is only the third. Many times it's been the tenth before I would preach. And boy, I was tired afterwards. But I believe it's a serious thing, because I don't want just a vision that I come up with. I want a vision that God can bless. I want a vision that says, God saying, this is what I want for your church. Now, I don't get anything audible. I don't get those dreams in the middle of the night always that tell me what to do. But I am saying that it's bathed in prayer and fasting and the belief that God has to put his hand of blessing on it or it doesn't get done. Amen. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. If God's not in it, we're wasting our time. Amen. We're peddling fast but going nowhere. But I believe that God wants all his Christians to have a vision for their life. I believe he wants churches to have a vision. And what I think, as a pastor for all these years, is many churches are wonderful churches. They just don't have vision. They have no direction. They're just same old, same old, same old. And when that happens, things just fall apart and a church just dies. And that's a sad thing. We're living in a day where 90% of the churches in America are not growing. They're declining. They've lost their vision. As I preach about this vision, it's to challenge me. It's to challenge all of us about what God could do. In Lamentations chapter 2, verse 9, there's an example of not having a vision. The Bible says her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. He's speaking of Jerusalem. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. That was the problem. They didn't have a vision from God. They weren't looking to God for a vision. And you know what happened to Jerusalem during the captivity? How it was overrun, how it was destroyed, how its walls were broken down. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 17, the Bible says, then Zedekiah the king, and this is not a godly king, this is an ungodly king. But Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, talking about Jeremiah, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, saith he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of the Babylon. It wasn't the vision he wanted to hear. But here's a secular king. He's not serving God. Let me just say, man does not have the answers. I don't care whether you're president, prime minister, pope. It doesn't matter what you are. Man does not have the answers. And so we ask a good question. Is there any direction from God? Is there any vision from the Lord? And that's what we need for our marriages, and that's what we need for our homes and our children, and that's what we need for our church and our ministries, and that's what you need for your life, your business, your occupation, what God has in store for you. You've got to have a vision. I've often said I'd rather aim at something and miss and aim at nothing and hit it. And I'm afraid too many times Christians are aiming at nothing and they hit it every time. We don't want that. By God's grace, we want to be used of God as a people, as a church. We want God to use us. Amen. The greatest joy in all of life is to be used of the Lord. And as the choir sang, boy, I tell you, I got into that. There is coming a day where we'll stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all that we've labored will be worth it all. All that we've sacrificed for the cause of Christ will seem as nothing compared to seeing our Savior face to face. I want to share my vision for 2021. I want to start by sharing a few quotes about vision. I as you tell, I get a little excited about vision, about goals and doing something for God. I love it. Helen Keller said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight and no vision." A pretty powerful quote coming from Helen Keller. James Allen says, "The greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn. The bird waits in the egg. And the highest vision of the soul, awakening angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of realities." I was talking to Brother Gene Pardella, one of our deacons, Sunday school teacher, and I said, you know, God gives me most of my ideas about 2 a.m. You wake up and you have those ideas. That probably happens to you too. And then you think, oh, I better write that down. You think of a project. How am I going to do this? How's it going to get done? And then you think, oh, that's how. And you got to get up and write it down. You'll forget it. I know that by experience. Bill Copeland said, "The trouble with not having a goal is that you can spend your life running up and down the field and never scoring." You got to have an inline. You got to know where you are on the field. You got to know what you're trying to accomplish. Thomas Edison said, "Vision without execution is hallucination." So it's not just having a dream, it's working that dream. Getting it down in bite-sized pizzas and start doing this and this and this and this, and then finally achieving the vision that you have for your life, for our church. I want to try to, I'm working with my iPad and sometimes it goes crazy on me. And I want to stop and say, Colby, how do you fix that? How do you, but anyway, I know how to do it now. I just learned how to solve a problem. Half a page came on. I thought, that's interesting. Here's another quote. Tony Dungy. I love Tony Dungy. I am not a big fan of sports or follow, and by the way, I haven't been the last year and a half, really. But I haven't been a big fan of sports and what some are doing. I'm more patriotic than I am sports-oriented. But I love Tony Dungy because he's a Christian coach, and he can't say hardly anything on TV without talking about Jesus. If a quarterback throws a great pass and they make a touchdown, he'll say, "Oh, praise Jesus. God sure blessed him, didn't he?" Well, that's not exactly how he talks, but I love someone who's not afraid to mention his faith. And that's Coach Tony Dungy. Of course, he's retired as a coach now. But he said the first step toward creating an improved future is developing the ability to envision it. Vision will ignite the fire of passion that fuels our commitment to do whatever it takes to achieve success. Only vision allows us to transform dreams of greatness into the reality of achievement through human action. Vision has no boundaries and knows no limits. Our vision is what we become in life. You don't have a vision, you don't go anywhere in life. The thing I love about the Christian life is not what can you do, it's what can you and God do. Oh, well, that just changes everything. I've told people so many times when I came here with my wife and at the time two children and everything we owned in a box trailer, and we got here, I did not have great self-confidence, but I had great God confidence. I knew what God could do. And when you know what God can do, you can enlarge your vision far greater than anything you can do. And I praise God for that. A Christian's life has no boundaries because when God gets in it, everything's possible. For with God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord for that. Mark Gorman says, and this is the last quote, "Not all dreamers are winners, but all winners are dreamers. Your dream is the key to your future. The Bible says that without a vision or dream, the people perish. You need a dream if you're going to succeed in anything you do." And here we come to the first of 2021. What is a vision that God would have us do as a church? I'd like to share some things this morning about what I've seen, and I've prayed with our staff and we've talked together and I've got ideas from them, and this is not just a one-man show. This is a team working together. Just like Brother Hoxie, we've got so many good men and good ladies that work here at Grandview Baptist Church, and what a blessing each and every one of them is. Last year our theme was, in 2020, was His Mission, Our Focus. And we started 2020, one of the best starts of the year, of any year. The auditorium was full. You say, well, there's a good crowd. Well, yeah, every other pew. But I mean, it was like this, every pew. And it was full. And in January, we were in the black. We never start out in January. It's always in the red. You know, it's always after Christmas, everyone spent their money, and now January is the lowest off. But we were in the black. January, February, March. Whoa, I couldn't believe it. We had our youth explosion. Hundreds of teenagers on a Wednesday night. Well, on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, over 175 public school teenagers trusted Christ as their Savior. Whoa, it's amazing. When you're in a service and you see 80 or 90 teenagers walk down an aisle to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, it is phenomenal. And then the very next day, we were told we're shut down. And we had to go to internet and live stream and Zoom and all of that. So here's what we did as a staff. We said, well, we can't meet together. We can't have evangelistic services. We can't have evangelistic outreach. Everyone's confined. What are we going to do? And I said, let's just take this time and let's finish some projects we've always wanted to do here at the church, and let's use this time and try to get this done. And so we want to show you a little video of what we got done in 2020. Let's watch this a minute. Amen. With our Sunday school program, we raised about $10,000 that we used for Youth Explosion. 175 public school teenagers coming to faith in Christ. That's a wonderful deal right there. We praise God for that. That's what Grandview Baptist Church has always been about, reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking to see how many we can fit in a building. We're trying to fill up heaven, not a building, by sharing the gospel everywhere, whether it's Alaska. And Brother Kenny Menendez, one of our deacons, went to start that church, and we've been paying his salary now. And God is blessed. They're having people saved every single week, baptized almost every other week. And it's just an amazing thing what God is doing there. And they're in the wintertime, and yet God has continued to bless. This year, I can't share all the details, but this year, we have another church that wants to be a part of our church in the Portland metro area, and they want our DNA. They're literally dying for lack of sharing the gospel. And they said, we want what you have, and they want to be a part of our church, and we already have someone to be a pastor for them. It's not one of our staff men, it's one of our members. And yet, it's just another way to see more people come to faith in Christ in a different area of the Portland metro area. We're always looking for ways to reach out and see people come to faith in Christ. Our vision for 2021, our theme is serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. It comes from Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. As we thought about our vision for the year and our theme for the year, quite frankly, there was a part of me that said, well, you know, don't have one. Who knows what it could be? I didn't want another thing to turn out like, you know, being shut down again. Praise God, the Supreme Court has ruled in favor and our governor has taken off the mandates from churches, and we praise the Lord for that. And then I started praying, and then the Lord impressed me, serving the Lord. We got to get back to serving the Lord. Not just having church, but doing what we can, doing what we've always done to serve the Lord. Getting everyone involved. You don't need a title. You don't need a position. You just need a place of service. And just find a way to serve the Lord. And we want to work hard throughout this year, getting as many people as possible serving the Lord in some capacity. God will bless your life. And when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be thankful you spent your life serving Him. You don't want to just be a spectator when everybody else is getting their rewards. You want to be rewarded for what you've done for the cause of Christ, whether it's a parking lot attendant or usher or a Sunday school teacher or someone who works with the children's ministry on the bus routes, whatever it is. Let me share what we're wanting to do. First of all, we're going to safely reopen. Now, I know that we're having services in the auditorium and such, but I mean by reopening, get back to how we had church a year ago. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Church is more than a pastor's sermon. It's more than a choir singing. Church is people intertwining their lives together as they serve Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's what I add to your life and what you add to my life. All of us are adding to God's work. And we have to open up church and make sure that we're able to do what we did for the Lord. Starting January the 16th, we're going to have men's prayer service again. Every Saturday, we've had Zoom calls, and we're having men on Zoom going through, and we love it. But Merle and Betty cook a great breakfast and other helpers every Saturday. Now, we always had it at 8. We're moving it to 9 o'clock. You can sleep in a little longer, fellas. And always a wonderful breakfast. Then we share about the proverb of the day. We share a different verse that God spoke to us. Whatever day of the week that is, that's the proverb of that day. And we share that together. And we have wonderful time fellowshipping together as men. Ladies' Bible study will start January the 18th. That'll be at Miss Vicky's home. Well, it happens to be my home too. And our home. And the ladies are welcome there. And you'll have a great time. And that's January the 18th. Wednesday night teen group, we're opening up January the 13th. That's not this Wednesday, but the very next Wednesday. All of our teenagers have always had services on Wednesday night on the third floor. Brother TJ preaches to them, and Brother Derek preaches to them. They have a great time there. We're opening up our bookstore. Perhaps you remember, you used to be able to go into a bookstore, and we have Bibles and religious books and other things in there. And we're starting next Sunday. That's going to be opened up before the service. After the service, you can go in there, and smiling faces will take good care of you there. Prime time with pastor activities. Now, we'll have to wait till some restaurants open up. Maybe we'll go to some of these rebel cities. And, you know, I'm from the South. I got a little rebel in me. And maybe we'll go to Malolo or Sandy or, you know. And we'll join some other. But maybe for a while, we'll have our seniors gather and have a meal together here at the church. And it'd be cooked here and we fellowship together. And then eventually, Claim Jumpers will be open and Red Lobster and all those other good places we enjoy going to. Prime time with pastor activities. Going places, doing things. Ladies' night out. We have to have somewhere open to go. But we'll have that eventually in our state, and time where ladies get together and they either go out and eat together or go out shopping for a while and then enjoy a meal together. Secondly, we're going to open up all of our children's ministries. Mark chapter 10, verse 14 says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." If you want a future, we have to be focused on children. Children. I told the 8:30 service, I've been so excited about everyone focusing during COVID on babies. We've had more babies born in this church since COVID started, and we got more on the way. Praise the Lord. I say to the others, go and do thou likewise. I look at Miss Vicky. She said, no way, honey. No way. No way. I'm not Sarah and you're not Abraham. Okay. But anyway, if you're young, do your part. We want babies and children's ministries, and we want to do all of that. We're Little Bear Bible Club and is going to be opening up on January the 10th. That's not this. It's the very next Sunday, the 10th. We're going to be opening up and enjoy that Little Bear Bible Club for Sunday night. And then they're going to have a kids' praise choir. So they always have Bible time. They always have singing. They always have game time. They always have treats. But kids' praise choir, they're going to get all the kids that come on Sunday night in the Little Bear Bible Club, which is, I think, four-year-olds to fourth graders, whatever, sometimes longer. And so they're in there and they're going to be singing and practicing. And then once a month or once every 6 weeks, they're going to come out and they're going to sing to the whole congregation. All the children are going to be little performers and be able to be a blessing to us. And I'm looking forward to that. Grandview Kids activities. During the service, we have children's ministries going on today, right now, called Grandview Kids. And we're going to have kids' night in, parents' night out. When things open up, it means you drop off your kids. They have a wonderful time some evening, and you get to go have a date night. And it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to pay a babysitter or do anything. Now, you do have to pay for the meal if you go out to eat, okay? Don't just eat and run. But I'm telling you, it's a wonderful time. The kids have a great time. Mom and dad get a night off. Kids' night in, parents' night out. And we'll be announcing those. We're going to be starting Awanas on January the 13th. So every Wednesday night from 7:45 to 8:15, there'll be Awanas. It's games. It's Bible memorization. It's excitement. You'll have a wonderful time. And by the way, if you can help us, there is a sign-up sheet on the information counter. We're always looking for new workers. Another way to plug in, serve the Lord. And you can sign up here and work with children on Wednesday nights. What a blessing. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a wonderful blessing to you. And so let me encourage you to be a part of that. Also, I want us to share that we have a children's pastor that we've hired. The first was his first day. Today's the third. And that's Connor Dalby. Connor and Carissa, who just got married in December, are now working for the church. Carissa is working at the school, and then Connor will be doing some at the school, but he'll be working at the church, and he'll be a children's pastor. And I told him, I said, if you apply yourself, you'll do a good job. But in 5 or 6 years, you'll do a great job. In 10 years, it will be an amazing job. We are set in this city to reach these people for Jesus Christ. And you know what I found is every child comes with a parent. And if we can reach the children and they have a wonderful time learning the Bible, learning about Jesus, trusting Christ as their Savior, then mom and dad are going to want to come and get them more involved. It will change the direction of their children, of their home. We've got to reach the next generation. We've got to have a vision strong for children. And so I'm so excited about having a children's pastor who focuses all of his attention on reaching children, ministering to parents of children as well. And then we're going to work to fill the buildings. Luke chapter 14, verse 23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." Now I know as we start out, we're going to have social distancing. We're not wanting you to shake hands with all of our seniors. We want you to protect their health. But we're going to try to rebuild our attendance. We used to fill this place setting every pew. Well, it'll take us a while to get there. Someone said that 20% of the churches because of COVID will go out of existence. There's churches that are mega churches that don't have 1/10 of their membership watching online. And they've had no in-service meetings. I tell you what, this has been an attack against the local church. I don't mean the state, the governor. I'm talking about the devil is after the church, and he'll use every little thing he can or every big thing he can to attack the church. Well, we want to fill God's house just like he wants us to. We want to reach people. The first thing we're going to do is, I'm getting ahead of myself. The fifth thing I want to share is our legacy fund. Our legacy fund is a way that we give over and above our tithes and over above our budget. And whatever we give above our budget goes automatically on debt principal. We're paying down the principal of our debts, not just making the payments. And we started that in midway of December. Well, this January, we will put down $5,000 more on principal. Just because we announced it 2 weeks ago. Our people are responders. They're givers. They believe in our ministry. And we're going to pay that down. 2 years ago, we built 6 classrooms. They're really nice. And we raised $300,000. But it cost us $480,000. It was appraised at $1 million. So we got a good deal on it. But we had to take a loan of $160,000 to finish it up. That loan is down to $95,000 now. And we've been giving extra to it. So everything that we give extra and anything you give on a tithing envelope on legacy fund goes automatically to debt. And so let me encourage you in our new tithing envelopes that we gave out. There's a place that says legacy fund. And if you give to that, it goes immediately to paying off the debt. Now, if you're checking your pew, I don't know if we have them there. We did mail them out. But just put legacy fund. We don't have them in the pew, do we, Jeremy? Okay, he's the administrative pastor, so it's all his fault. I'm kidding. And we are going to pay it down. Now, Brother Jeremy said, well, Pastor, shouldn't we do it every few months? Because what if we have a low month? We've had those around here, and we didn't make budget. It wasn't in the black. It was in the red, maybe $10,000. I said, no. If we go over, we're going to give all that money to the principal. If we go under, we'll just suck it up. We'll just absorb it. We'll suffer through it. We'll make it happen anyway with less money. But the emphasis is going to be paying down our debt. We want to get that paid down. So we do that, and then we owe on three large portable buildings, classrooms. We owe $6,000 a month. That's the lease on that. Imagine paying that all these months we didn't get to use it. But we're paying that every month. We want to start taking one at a time and paying it off. Then take another building, pay it off. Take another building, pay it off. And we will save, between the two loans, we'll save $8,000 to $9,000 a month. 2 months ago, our bank called us up and our loan was 4.8%. They called and let us know that our loan had just gone to 4%, 4.0% from 4.8. That's quite a savings. I said, let's keep the same payment and the rest, whatever we pay over, goes to principal. So that's what we're doing this year. We're making the same payment, except we're adding thousands of dollars to it to pay down debt. And praise the Lord. That simply allows us to put money into different ministries when it's paid off. Our next project, after we pay that off, the next project is we're going to start saving money for a gymnasium. And we're going to build another building. It will cost us more money. And I'm asking people my age and younger to consider putting our church in your will or trust fund or something, so that when we go to heaven, the resources God's gifted us with are still leading people to Christ, still seeing lives changed and souls saved and the work of God going forward. I guarantee you in heaven, you're going to be thrilled that you made a decision like that. Now, we're not asking for a large portion, but if all of us could put something in there, we're not going to live forever. And when we go to heaven, and that money starts accumulating, then this church will be able to build a gymnasium without even going to the bank for a loan. That will be an exciting thing. As it comes to the legacy fund, we have a short video. Brother Cameron Howe was able to videotape two of our members who get a talk about their giving and the legacy fund. And so let's watch this video. And Mark, just make sure it's loud enough so all of us can hear. Let's watch it.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Christy. We're the Jacksons.
Grandview is the catalyst for our giving. The church I was raised in was one where if you didn't toe the line, you could lose being saved. It finally got to the idea that I'm going to lose it with all the things I've done and would do and so forth. So, you know, what's the use of trying?
When Tim and I decided to come to the Christmas program here at Grandview, we knew it was home for us, and we've been here ever since. And that's been almost 8 years now.
Everything was different. It really firmed up my belief. It just changed me completely. With the attitude, the sermons, the friendliness, it made all the difference in the world. When we first came to Grandview, we had an elderly lady that we'd been taking care of for years, looking after. And she couldn't see very well, so she always had me do her books, keep her checkbook and everything. And she impressed upon us, me particularly, giving your 10%, no matter what, give your 10% at least. Since we started doing that, our lives have changed in the sense everything is better. Everything works. And things will happen, and I look at it and I think, wow, that could have been much different. Thank you, Lord. And that happens all the time. And it didn't used to happen.
The Lord has been good to us in that we've been able to go beyond our 10% many, many times to provide for different aspects of the church. For instance, the new building and the teen activities and the bus ministry and missions. He's just provided for us in some way. It's just come through on the month that we wanted to do something.
The less debt we have to pay off, then that's that much more money. If the income remains the same, but we don't have money going out to pay off debt, then that's money that we can invest in other things, whether it's soul winning or new facilities or
new buses,
whatever. The debt reduction is great, and as you know, everybody knows, the less debt that you have, even in personal debt, the more money you have to do other things. And with all the soul winning that this church does, we need that sort of thing. We need a nice looking building. We need money going into missions, all that sort of thing, because we're saving souls, which hopefully some of them come to the church, which requires we have more facilities.
We have our own families that we invest in. We invest in our children. We invest in our parents. We invest in our community. The church is another part of our family. It's our church family. And so We certainly want to invest in our church family. And it does our hearts good to know that we are doing some good for the young people, especially, we're investing in their lives and what they're going to be doing with their own families as they go away from the church or bring their own families into the church. It's just it's a good investment, and it's the Lord's investment. We're investing in the love of Christ.
Amen. One of the things we're going to do is involve more people in serving. I mentioned that. This week I was talking to one of our members, and we were talking about churches, and I said this: the church that's inward focused dies, the church that's outward focused thrives. And then I thought, oh, that's good, let me write that down. I never said that before. But that's true. The church that's inward focused dies, the church that's outward focused thrives. Reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission. That's what it's all about. Sharing the Lord Jesus Christ so people go to heaven forever and ever. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's our commission from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It simply means that every Christian is a part of Christ's body. And God wants to use every one of us. There is no such thing as a piece of our body that has no function. We are not meant to be benign tumors. We're meant to be a part of a functioning body for Christ. Every one of us can serve the Lord some way, somehow. And so we're going to be looking for workers, more parking lot greeters out in the parking lot, the attendants, and more greeters inside, and more nursery workers. Praise God, we need that. And we're excited about that. We need people who know how to smile and love children. And we're going to use you in the nursery, in the children's ministries, people to be involved in outreaches of different types, the bus ministry. We're going to be kicking that off later this year. And we need some team of people who will come up with promotions and then fund that promotion for one individual bus, maybe once or twice a month, not every Sunday. But pray about that, a way that you could put yourself in the lives of children. What a blessing that would be. I mentioned about how God had blessed our church in 2020. One of the great blessings was when we met back this fall, our school was able to meet in person. We're one of the few Christian schools that were able to do that. We had DEQ contact us twice, not DEQ. We had OSHA. OSHA contacted us twice, did an investigation and says, you're good to go. Praise the Lord. He always blessed us. And the authorities always said, keep on going. Well, praise the Lord, we did. We ended last December with 405 students in our Christian school. Tomorrow, 13 more come. There's 80 on the list. If we had new teachers and more teachers, we could open up more classrooms. And so we're looking and praying what God can do. Listen, in these days, people need a good, safe, solid place to put their children. They're going to get them grounded in the Lord, the Word of God, and math and English and social studies and science and all the other things. We're not having classes hour and a half on Zoom and that's all you get. We're teaching them right from our books and going through, and they're learning and they're doing wonderful, and we've got an amazing team in our school. Prayer team, people willing to commit themselves that when we put a text out, they're willing to pray and get right on it and trust that God will open up the windows of heaven and bless those prayer requests. We're going to be starting some outreach, but the first thing we're going to call it is inreach. In the next 6 weeks, and we'll be starting this in about a week or two, in the next week or two, we're going to have a 6-week program where we're going to try to visit every person on our church roll. So we've got to have your address, every person on our church roll. Now, we're not going to go inside and sit in your living room and say, and breathe on you. We're going to show up there with a gift, with some printed material, and let you know that your church needs you and your church loves you. And that's what we're going to be doing, having 6 weeks of inreach. We're going to have outreach at 10 o'clock on Monday, 10 o'clock on Tuesday, and then at 10:30 on Saturday. And one of those times, if you can come, we'll give you some names, we'll give you some gifts. You just go to the house, knock on the door, say, we're from Grandview Baptist Church. We want you to know that you're loved and appreciated. Here's a gift from our church to you. And we're going to be doing that, and we're going to go through our roles and try to get every single person. And if we don't get to you, you let us know, and we'll make a special visit just for you. So we need more people serving the Lord. The inreach. And then in March, we begin our outreach program. Matthew 22, verse 9 says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. We're going to go throughout this area and reach these people for Christ and invite them to church. Listen, God has uniquely placed us here in this county, in this area, to reach out. And we have resources, and we have workers, and we have people excited about Jesus. We just need to pull the trigger and get busy again for the cause of Christ. And starting in March, Lord willing, we're going to do it. Now, we'll start safe and we'll start slower, but we'll continue to work up until we one day fill the buildings and God's blesses again. We have COVID challenges. We're going to move forward. We're going to reach out to members. We're going to reach more people. We're going to do it as safe as we know how to do it. But our biggest prayer is that God will just get rid of this virus. Amen? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Just get rid of it. We don't want people in our senior citizen homes dying. We don't want our seniors passing away. We want to keep people healthy, and we're going to be as proactive in those areas as we possibly can. Now, we're going to have some speakers throughout this year. Let me just share one of them for sake of time. February the 7th, we've got Brad Dacus, D-A-C-U-S, come. He's the president of Pacific Justice Institute. Now, the Pacific Justice Institute is the Christian law firm that's been representing all the churches on the West Coast that have remained open, that have had any problems. And they've been winning case after case after case after case. Especially since the Supreme Court came down, everyone else has folded and said, you do what you want, churches. We're going to leave you alone. The First Amendment has us under there somehow, right? And so our Constitution lets us do that. Well, he has the largest Christian attorney association in all of America. He has attorneys in all the 50 states that work with him, Christian attorneys working together. And he's the president of this, the largest single one. And he's going to come on February the 7th and preach to us on a Sunday morning and share with us what God is doing and what we can do as a church. And I believe it's going to be a great blessing. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we have Christian attorneys like the Christian Law Association and Pacific Pacific Justice. I always forget the middle name. And so we're excited about that. And he's going to be our guest speaker on the 7th. Reopen dates. I'm getting close. The plane is circling. I'm about to land. Get your shoes back on, ladies. Here we go. January 10th, Little Bear Bible Club is going to start up. January 13th, teen group, Awana, is going to open up. January 16th, congregational singing. Yeah, I know some of us have forgot how. We'll learn all over again. But you know, we sing because God's Word says people sing. And we can't have people say, you can't do that in church. Well, we've tried to stay by those rules, but there comes a time where you just got to say, hey, we're a church. We got to obey God. We got to do what God wants us to do. He wants us to sing. If you want to wear a mask and sing, that's fine. But we're going to sing unto the Lord. And we're going to do that, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. January 17th, January 24th, we're going to have the orchestra again. Yes. They'll be playing during our songs and specials and all those things. We're going to, if possible, have a ladies' conference. We're not sure. Easter outreach. We're not sure how that's going to look yet. Vacation Bible School. Ideas for reaching more people throughout the area. Our staff has come up with quite a few ideas I don't have time to share. We're going to say, God, here we are as a church. And we're not anybody special, but you're special. And we want to serve you with our whole heart. And if we'll humble ourselves as a people and just let God use us, we'll be amazed what God can accomplish in 2021. I'm up for it, and I believe you are. I believe that's the heartbeat of the people of Grandview Baptist Church. They want to serve God. They want God to use them. We're going to have the piano play in just a moment. And I'm going to ask all of us to stand if we will. And if as you stand, could you just pray and say, Jesus, would you use me somehow? Would you help me somehow? Let God, with heads bowed, eyes closed, we're going to have a few decisions here. We're going to have a baptism and someone joining the church. We're excited about that. But would you pray right now and say, Lord, could you use me? Would you use me? Would you just let God use you some way, somehow? If you're watching from home and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're here this morning, you don't know that heaven's your eternal home. You hope it is, but you don't know that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No doubt about it. And if you're willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus and you want Jesus, and if you ask Him to be your Savior and forgive you of your sin and say, Jesus, I trust You as my Savior, then Jesus will be. He will be your Savior. He will forgive you of your sins, and heaven will be your eternal home. And if you're not sure what to pray or what to say, you could word a simple prayer like this and say, Dear Jesus, I ask You to save me. I believe in You, Jesus. I trust You as my Savior. Please take me to heaven when I die. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Oh, if you word something like that and you mean it with all your heart, Jesus became your Savior. And He'll be with you all the days of your life and all throughout eternity. Maybe that's what happened to you this morning. I trust that you'll get plugged into a good church. We're just one of many. And let God use your life. Let your days on earth count for the Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would bless. I pray that You'll take our church, take our people, take us as individuals, and use us for Your glory, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you to be seated, and we're going to show the next video. And then Joyce Johnson, who gave her life to Christ maybe 2 or 3 months ago, is going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then she is wanting to place her membership here at Grandview Baptist Church. We'll vote on her as soon as she gets baptized. Let's watch the next video.
Business meeting will be this Wednesday, January 6th, following the 7 p.m. service. In this meeting, the 2021 budget will be explained and voted on, and it will also cover the deacons on rotation.
We're excited to have the 2021 teen activity calendars available. Teenagers and parents of teenagers, please stop by the welcome desk after the service to pick up an activity card.
Make plans to join us next Sunday morning as Pastor Mutchler will be continuing the sermon series in Romans.
We want you to stay connected at Grandview Baptist Church. To make this easier, we have a text and email service that can help you receive information about upcoming events, prayer requests, and important church updates. To sign up for the church text and e-messenger emails, stop by the welcome desk to fill out a Connect card or sign up online at grandviewcares.com and click Connect.
Awana will be starting back up on Wednesday, January the 13th. If you'd be interested in helping in this ministry, please sign up at the welcome desk or see Connor Dalby.
Thank you for joining us today. There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we would love to meet you and answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look to the right, and there will be a guest table with lots of goodies, and we also want to leave you with a gift card. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
Stand right here, face this direction. This is Joyce Johnson. Joyce, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen. All in favor of receiving Joyce into the membership of Grandview Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Joyce. Proud of you. Joyce has been so excited for this day, and I'm so happy for her. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for our church. I said this morning, the 8:30 service, this. I said, it has not been the vision of the pastor that has built this church. It's been the good people who followed that vision. And I just want to say I owe you so much. And on behalf of myself, my wife, and our staff, We love our people so much. And it's you who get the job done for Christ. We just get to lead and guide. But thank you for all you've done. We love you all so very much. And we're looking forward to living another year in service for the Lord together. We are dismissed. God bless you.